Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants, indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
And we have a treat for you here this week because we are talking to an expert. We're talking to a man who definitely knows his way around innovation, around the history of innovation, and how we work as an innovative species.
This man, he goes by the name of Steven Johnson. He has a book out called How We Got to Now, Six Innovations That Made the Modern World. He has a corresponding PBS series, which airs on Wednesdays from October 15th through November 12th at 10, 9 Central. So we've talked about him before. Steven Johnson has written a bunch of books, and you may be familiar with him already with his TED Talk, which is called Where Good Ideas Come From, and it is a must-see if you haven't already.
This is the coffee house talk for those of you who just have kind of an in-and-out familiarity with the various TED Talks of the past. This is the one that was like people stopped drinking beer, they started drinking coffee and hanging out in coffee houses, and they started getting all these crazy ideas. Their ideas started breeding with one another and producing hybrid ideas, and that this is kind of the soup of innovation.
Yeah, which kind of took us out of the dark ages and into the Enlightenment.
Yeah.
And he weaves together all of these sort of what you would think are disparate topics or areas, and he creates this cohesive narrative of how things came to be. And he is an excellent storyteller and an excellent science journalist.
Yes. Now, this book, How We Got to Now, Six Innovations That Made the Modern World, six innovations. The chapter titles are Glass, Cold, Sound, Clean, Time, and Light. And what I love about this book is that it makes me think of those, those transparencies that you would find in biology and anatomy textbooks, you know, where you would be, one transparency would be, the circulatory system of an organism. And then you have another transparency that's the digestive system, et cetera. All these different layers, and you layer them on top, and all together they give you this kind of complex view of the organism itself. Well, I find that books like this, and this book in particular, it's kind of like each chapter, like the glass chapter, is kind of one transparency over the body of history, particularly the body of history when seen in terms of technological innovation. And each one of those transparencies on its own is fascinating. You know, you look at the circulatory mm-hmm. system, you say, well, the human circulatory system is in and of itself a very fascinating system and well worthy of study. And so in this book, Johnson is basically taking different transparencies from the history of innovation and saying, well, just look at the story, just look at the history of, say, the light bulb in our quest for light, mm-hmm. and look at how this story of innovation colors the overall history of human innovation.
Yeah, and I love that about his ability to reframe our understanding of these really big, meaty topics like light, right? Or even time. In one aspect of it, he talks about how time was just all over the place. You know, mm-hmm. you could go from one city to another and you'd be 5 minutes ahead or 10 minutes behind and so on and so forth. And that's how we largely sort of went along until the 1870s when William Allen created standardized time zones. And all of a sudden you could sync up not just trains, but all sorts of innovations sprung from that, to the point where we really could not disseminate information or share our knowledge or, you know, air things without creating this sort of cohesive understanding or all of us being on the same page of time. And that's just one tiny little aspect that he talks about when considering the entire history of time and how we've tried to bottle it.
Indeed, that's a great chapter, and this overall, this book is just a great volume, well worth picking up, very readable, very much a book for the everyday person who's just interested in how these different inventions and how these great ideas have changed the world, and you know, and how sometimes they spring off in just unforeseen directions.
Yeah, and Stephen Johnson will talk a little bit more about this in the interview that we're about to play. We thought you guys would really like to get a little bit more information about his work, his process, and dive into a little bit more of the book. So without any further ado, here is our interview with Stephen Johnson. And remember that his PBS series, How We Got to Now, airs on PBS on Wednesdays, and that's 10 Eastern, 9 Central. In your book, you write about how Manuel DeLanda's book, War in the Age of Intelligent Machine, formed your perspective-bending approach to history. Can you touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, well, we tend to tell historical stories in terms of, you know, kind of great leaders, political leaders, spiritual leaders, military leaders. It tends to be very kind of human-centered view of the world. And even when we talk about the history of invention, we often talk about the great inventors and the geniuses that they were and how their great ideas changed the world. And what DeLanda was suggesting in that book that I read many, many years ago as a grad student in my early 20s, it's taken me 23 years to fully digest what he was saying, is that there's another way of looking at the history of human society, which is in a sense the kind of machine's eye view of it all. And to look not at how people change the world, but how these technologies, these machines, these objects changed us. And he imagined if you somehow in the future and you had a robot historian, you know, we got to a level of artificial intelligence and a robot set out to tell the history of the last 1,000 years, that robot would tell a very different story. It would be all the different strains in kind of historical progress that were leading towards, you know, intelligent computers, and that certain elements in human history would loom large in that telling that might not loom quite as large in our traditional account. So that's what How We Got to Now is in a sense trying to do. It's trying to talk about how all these breakthroughs and objects and technologies change the way we live.
What do you see as humanity's biggest misunderstanding when it comes to the nature of innovation, and does that misunderstanding pose a threat?
I think part of the issue that we have when we think about innovation is that we tend to look at it a very kind of local way. So you see somebody trying to solve a specific problem in coming up with some new solution, some new technology. And oftentimes, you know, people are very good at doing this. You know, they set out to figure out a way to you know, cool down and dehumidify a room in the invention of air conditioning, for instance. And they do an excellent job of that. They successfully manage to create these, like, nice interior temperatures that are very livable. But what we don't see and we don't anticipate are all the crazy kind of peripheral consequences of that invention that get set in motion because this new thing is in the world. And so with the invention of air conditioning, what that ends up triggering is this huge migration of people to, you know, kind of very hot places like desert states or very, you know, tropical, jungly places that would normally not sustain big population bases. And, you know, the entire Sun Belt, for instance, is basically a creation of air conditioning technology. And that itself then creates other, you know, kind of strange consequences where, like, for instance, people living in the desert have, you know, need for water that maybe we shouldn't really be living, you know, in cities of 5 million people in the middle of a desert. That might actually not be a sustainable way to live, but air conditioning kind of made that possible for the first time. So we need to have this ability to kind of look at these secondary effects and not just look at the kind of direct problem being solved with each innovation.
In your book, you uncover many of the unsung heroes of history, the people who aren't often touted or celebrated for contributing to humanity-changing inventions or innovations. So which one of those heroes are you most taken with?
You know, there's so many. We really had a lot of fun uncovering these folks. I mean, you know, I think the whole story about Frederick Tudor and kind of inventing the ice trade at the beginning of the 19th century is an amazing one. Tudor himself seems like he was a bit of a jerk, but his whole process is amazing. So, you know, he hits upon this idea that he could take large blocks of frozen lake water from New England lakes and ship these big blocks of ice down to the American South, to the Caribbean, and then eventually to South America and even to India. And he has this idea, like, look, you know, ice is basically free in New England. It's completely abundant and has kind of no, you can just go and take it. But it's unbelievably rare. In fact, it was non-existent in the Caribbean. If you grew up in the Caribbean, you know, in the middle of the early 1900s or 1800s, you would have never seen ice your entire life. So he thought, people are going to pay a fortune for this. And so he went to this whole elaborate process of figuring out how to get the blocks of ice to the Caribbean without it melting, which was interesting in and of itself. But the funniest thing is then he got there and nobody wanted his ice. People were like, why would we want ice? We have been living here for 300 years without needing any ice and we've been fine. And so what would we do with that? And so he had to kind of convince them of the need for ice and that it was a really nice resource to have things that were cold. And eventually he became, you know, a multimillionaire and ice was briefly the second biggest export in the United States after cotton. So he was ultimately a success, but it's just a kind of a crazy story.
What was the starting point of the book, that point at which you realized that you could create a cohesive collection of jaw-dropping moments to help reframe our understanding of human innovation?
Well, I had written Where Good Ideas Come From, which, you know, is all about, in a way, the history of innovation, but not organized in terms of individual kind of objects. So it was about the kind of patterns and kind of lessons from innovative people and environments and communities. And so I knew, and that book had done well, and I knew that, you know, that you could tell these stories from history and they could be kind of captivating if you figured out the right stories to tell and the right way to frame them. And then because of that book, I got approached basically with this idea of turning it into a television show, a television series, and so it really was a TV series first for PBS and BBC, and it was during the early conversations about the show that we came up with the idea of organizing it around six, you know, objects: a clean glass of drinking water, a sound recording, you know, artificial light. And then once you had that kind of clarity, it was clear that that the episodes and then the chapters, as I wrote them in the book, were going to be fun, because it just kind of gave it this structure that I hadn't had in Where Good Ideas Come From.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, more questions with Stephen Johnson. Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, we're back talking to Stephen Johnson.
A lot of times on the podcast, we'll talk about habits or practices that we try to do, especially in terms of creativity. Do you have any specific habits or practices when you approach your work?
Yeah, I have accumulated, you know, this is my ninth book, so I've accumulated a lot of little tricks. Actually, I wrote, you can, you know, maybe link to it, I wrote a kind of series of little essays at Medium called The Writer's Room about some of my little tricks that I'd accumulated over the years. But the biggest one is this, and it's a big theme of the books, actually. You know, I talked in the last two books, I've talked quite a bit about this idea of the slow hunch, right, that the anti-eureka moment. Instead of moments of sudden clarity, sudden epiphany, breakthrough moments, most good ideas come into the world very slowly, and they start as hunches, and then, you know, they sometimes take 2 or 3 years or a decade to turn it into something that you can actually use in a really actionable way. And so the trick is to, like, preserve all of those hunches and keep them alive for as long as you can, because, you know, that idea you had in 2008 might not really make sense in 2008, but it makes total sense in 2014 because something has changed, or you've met someone who has another idea that kind of completes it, or the technology has changed in the world and lets you kind of build on it, or you understand something differently that you didn't understand before. So I've been keeping this single document for the last, it's almost 10 years now, actually. It was originally like a Word document, and then it became a Google Doc so that I could just get to it. But it's one document, and I just, in that document, I write down every single random idea I have for anything, whether it's like a talk or a startup or an episode or a, you know, just like, or an entire book or a magazine article, or even I don't know where it's supposed to go, but it's just an idea that popped into my head. And I write it down in that same place. I don't organize it at all. It's, that file is now about 70,000 words long. So it's longer than all of my books. That file is longer, like the longest book I've written is probably about 70,000 words. Everything else is shorter than that. And what I try and do is I go back and reread it every 6 months or so. It takes a while. It takes like a book's length worth of time to reread all these things. But I try and go through and reread it because, you know, you're constantly finding things in your past where you're like, oh, right, I forgot I had that idea. That's such a good one. And now it makes total sense to do it here, you know. So that's one of the key kind of techniques that I've had over the years, just to keep that one, I call it my spark file. That's been incredibly helpful to me.
So does looking back at that spreadsheet give you any insights into how you work or your thought process?
Yeah, well, it really does. I mean, the cool thing is sometimes I go back and I'm rereading it and I'll come across one little passage and I'll be like, that was the night I came up with the idea for Invention of Air, my book. Like, a whole book came out of that little nugget that I had, you know, like that night. And here I am writing it down, you know, for the first time. So you can see the idea starting to take shape, which is really great. And it just, you know, it encourages you. It makes you feel like, okay, you know, if I keep doing this, I'm going to generate another book idea in here, you know, sooner or later. And then sometimes I read, you know, notes that I've written, and I'm like, how many glasses of wine had I had when I wrote that down? I don't even know what I'm talking about. So, you know, some are, you see a lot of like dead ends and things that didn't work, but, you know, it's a big theme of the show and the book too, that there's, you know, productive failure. You know, you end up innovating more if you take a lot of risks, and if you're constantly like experimenting with ideas, most of which aren't going to work out. But if you do that, eventually you'll start hitting some that actually do work out.
All right, so this one might be a bit of a doozy, but how does this understanding of innovation's history color our expectation for humanity's future, perhaps humanity's future beyond Earth?
Well, I don't know about beyond Earth. That's probably kind of above my pay grade to speculate on. But I think it should color our long view of human history in a positive way, right? You know, one of the things that I tried to do in this book, and in a way in my last book, Future Perfect, was to just remind people how much incredible progress we've made over the last, particularly 200 years. You know, I have a whole riff in the book and the show about the introduction of chlorination into drinking water and the crazy story behind that. And you know, that one little step, understanding that chlorine in small doses would be harmless to humans but could kill bacteria, that one little innovation, you know, ended up reducing infant mortality and child mortality by more than 50%. And, you know, just think about that. Like, I mean, think about how common infant and child mortality was, how high those numbers were in the developed world 150 years ago. I mean, it is the single worst thing that you can imagine happening to you as a parent, the loss of a child. And through all these kind of collaborative innovations over the last 150 years, we've taken something that was very common in the middle of the 19th century and made it very rare here at the beginning of the 21st. And that's just extraordinary. And that is actually happening in the developing world even faster now than it happened in the developed world 100 years ago. So yes, they're lagging behind us, but they're seeing even faster rates of progress on something like that. So I think, look, we have big challenges that we have to confront. We have energy challenges, we have climate challenges, we have inequality challenges and things like that. But the track record of the last, 200 to 300 years is an extraordinary one, and it's extraordinary all around the world. It's not just anymore the story of, the West with an impoverished third world. That is not what's happening. We're seeing actually the developing world, increase in its basic standards of living faster than any human settlement in history. So I think while we do have these problems, hopefully you look at it from this angle and you see a lot of reasons for optimism.
You've written about how innovation tends to keep tabs on itself and not unleash anything too terrible or harmful upon the world. But in terms of today's technology, which moves at a far faster pace than the current legal system, do you see a downside or a need to address the oversight system in place?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, this is the classic, concern about why we haven't detected any radio signals in like the SETI projects and things like that. And one of the arguments is that it may well be that civilizations that advance far enough to send out structured radio signals at some, other planet are almost immediately wiped out by some self-destructive technology that follows the invention of radio, which is the kind of the less optimistic view of what happens. And I think we do have, we live in a much more, kind of connected world. And so if there were some kind of, self-replicating style biotechnology or nanotechnology, this is the kind of gray goo nightmare scenario that we would, we could unleash something that was incredibly damaging to society. That could be a risk. And, I suppose like genetic meddling people are concerned about. I think it would be really good, we certainly need to have better systems for thinking about risk, and particularly for thinking about these unintended consequences in terms of risk. I'm not sure if our existing kind of regulatory bodies are the best set up for that. I don't think, government agencies do a particularly good job of thinking about that kind of risk, but I'm not sure really what the alternative is. It's one of the places where I think, and I'm not actually a big reader of this, but one of the places where I think science fiction is probably pretty healthy for the society, because basically science fiction authors just sit around and like imagine crazy alternate future scenarios based on, projecting out from the present. And that's a pretty healthy attitude, because it sometimes helps us steer away from those things, right? We had fears about what 1984 would look like, and we're able to kind of largely, for the most part, some of it came true, but some of it didn't, I think partially because 1984 was such a powerful and evocative book. So it made us worried about entering into that kind of state. So I think in some ways the visionaries and the sci-fi authors may be as important to this kind of stuff as the traditional regulators.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we will have more from Stephen.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
All right, we're back. More questions here with author Stephen Johnson. Stephen, what's the next topic that's going to keep you up at night, making connections to that wider world?
We're talking about doing another series, another season of this show, which would have another book. And so the question is, what would it, you know, what would be the focus of it? I'd like to have it have a kind of a distinct focus, so it's not just like six more objects that change the world, you know? And I'm really interested in leisure and in kind of recreation, because that's another measure of progress is how much time we have to sit around, like, playing video games or going on vacations, so, like our hunter-gatherer ancestors didn't have as much of. And so it'd be interesting to do kind of a history, a connected history of the things that we do for fun and how those things came into being. I think that would be pretty cool.
Okay, if you don't mind indulging us, we have a couple of standard questions we like to ask people. So, woolly mammoth, bring it back, or don't bring it back?
Well, I you know, Stuart Brand is my neighbor in California, an old friend, so whatever Stuart is doing, I'm in favor of. I think it'd be cool to bring it back.
All right, this question is fairly serious, and you don't have to answer it if you're uncomfortable, but we were just wondering, do you have a costume picked out for Halloween?
Sadly, I'm going to be in London, actually, doing the UK publication tour of the book, and they don't really do Halloween over there quite the way we do in the U.S., so I will be just sitting in my hotel room ordering in room service, but my kids went out and got some very disturbing costumes the other day, so they'll be in style here in Brooklyn.
All right, Stephen, well, thank you for talking with us. Before we go, is there anything else you'd like listeners to know about the book and the series?
Well, I think the one thing I'd say about the series is that it's a really fun show to watch with your kids, like to watch with like an 11-year-old, or if you're a kid, to watch with your parents. it's pitched at this level. The book is slightly, you know, older. I think it would be hard for an 11-year-old to read the book, but the show is right in the sweet spot where I think most of the grown-ups will have not heard the stories. We've worked really hard to have you know, stories that you will not know and that will kind of blow your mind a little bit. But at the same time, there's nothing in it that an 11-year-old won't get, and I think it's told in kind of a playful, fun way. It's not like your normal kind of history series. So I think it should be a good family show.
All right, so there you have it, our chat with Stephen Johnson. Again, the book, How We Got to Now, the TV series, also How We Got to Now. We highly recommend both.
Yeah, airing on PBS Wednesdays, that's 10 Eastern and 9 Central. And if you guys have any thoughts about this, I hope that you send them our way.
Indeed. And in the meantime, be sure to check out StuffToBlowYourMind.com. That is our mothership. That's where you'll find all of our podcast episodes, all of our videos, all of our podcasts, as well as links out to the various social media accounts that we maintain.
Yes, and you can contact us via email if you'd like. You can do that at BlowTheMind@HowStuffWorks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200,000 for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. Kings Island is now open on weekends.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.